The views and opinions expressed during this podcast are those of our guests. No one person speaks for AA as a whole.
So in a lot of ways, I think of these stories as a new doorway that leads into the same room.
Provide hope and identification, making them feel like they belong here as well.
Service was just like delicious. I loved it.
We need this now, not later. We need this yesterday.
The first is my tribal community, which gave me life. And then the second, of course, is the AA Fellowship, which saved my life.
Even though Alcoholics Anonymous has been around for 90 years, we're still evolving and changing. When the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous communicates that action must be taken for the message to be more accessible, this is known as an expressed need. In this episode, we will be exploring a few examples of how expressed needs are communicated and fulfilled in AA. My name is Nathan, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to GSO. While there are no special alcoholics, there are alcoholics who experience barriers to accessing the AA message. When we provide shared experience from AA members from different walks of life and facing various challenges, we give hope to the newcomer out there who might feel isolated and alone. We tell them, you too can recover. By the spring of 2024, GSO had been receiving more and more inquiries from the fellowship on how to better communicate the AA program to neurodivergent members. Neurodivergent is a term that describes people whose brains process information differently than most people. Neurodivergent people may have different strengths and challenges than people whose brains develop more typically. The term neurodivergent can include those with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, OCD, Down syndrome, and Tourette syndrome, to name a few. In response to this expressed need, the Treatment and Accessibility Staff Coordinator made a request to the Fellowship for shared experience on the subject in order to help members carry the message. The response from the Fellowship proved incredibly beneficial. One email that was received included an open letter to neurotypical alcoholics. This was written by 6H.
Thank you for having me.
Who at the time was a district accessibilities chair. Here's 6 sharing an excerpt of their letter.
We're the quiet ones. We're the loud ones. We're the ones you wish would be quiet. The ones you wonder why they never talk. The ones who won't stop moving. The ones who daydream. The ones with childish or obsessive interests. We're the neurodivergents and we walk among you. We try to conform, to fit in, but we tend to stand out or to not be seen. You've probably met many of us, but you didn't know what you were looking at. You were most likely frustrated with us or annoyed. You couldn't understand how anyone could act like that. Our personalities and presentations are across the spectrum, just like the varied histories of many an alcoholic, the same but different. We can be alcoholics. We can suffer from alcoholism. We can recover from a hopeless state of mind and body through the 12 steps, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and a higher power of our own understanding. We can be a small part of a great whole if you make space for us. Please make space for us.
Thank you so much for sharing that piece with us, Six. Would you mind sharing a bit about what brought you to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in the first place?
Sure. I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in a psychiatric hospital. I was on the psych side. I wasn't there for rehab or detox, but a group leader didn't show up. And a guy, one of the techs, got up and gave his lead instead. And he talked about his relationship with alcohol. And it blew my mind because I had never heard anyone talk about alcohol the way that I drink. And he said that he worked the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I decided to come and check out AA. And I came in here, and the very first meeting I went to, a lady shared that she deals with extra issues. So not only did I find people who drink the same way that I do, but also deal with extra issues and were a part of this fellowship.
Were you expecting to find other individuals that dealt with other issues in addition to alcoholism?
I was very surprised by that. That was the biggest thing. I've known lots of people who struggle with lots of stuff, but not anybody that had actually been able to use the 12 steps and be active in service and do all the things that Alcoholics Anonymous offers and be able to be useful and helpful. And even though I still deal with those extra issues, find ways to manage them so that I still can be helpful and useful in my own way.
Yeah, helpful and useful. In your letter, you wrote about a desire to be useful. And for a lot of us in AA, I find that that's a universal desire to be of service. And what has being involved in general service in AA been like for you? What's the experience been like?
At first, it was utterly terrifying. I'm very lucky that my first sponsor was very thorough in the traditions as well as the steps. And they basically put me to work without me even knowing it. They took me to area and they said, stand here and hand out these flyers. At the time, I rarely talked and I darn sure did not talk willingly to people. And I was like, this isn't something I can do. And she was like, yeah, it is. Just hold out your hand with the flyer in it. That's it. And that was my introduction into service. And like, you feel it's such a little thing. It's such a little thing to stand there and hand out flyers, but it makes you a part of. And for somebody that has never been a part of, that was really helpful.
Wow. Wow. So you said at that time you weren't talking very much. And here we are on a podcast. All we're doing is talking.
Well, I've been in the fellowship of AA for 15 years. I have 10 years sober. My sobriety date is April 26, 2015. It's taken me a long time to get where I am now. But when I was 7, they wanted to put me in an institution and leave me there. And now I have my own place. I draw and illustrate and write and am active in AA and also with some autism services here. I get to be a big part of this world and I get to give back instead of always taking.
Sounds like service was a very positive experience from the jump.
Service was just like delicious. I loved it. My first area, I was terrified of everything there, but it was amazing to watch our like business side of the fellowship, how people would go up to the mic and have strong opinions, but yet everybody still stayed like cordial and nice and genuine with each other. They weren't just faking stuff. And having these conversations, like, it was amazing to know more about that's going on and that's available for us who do much better in the service structure than in the meeting side. Yeah.
What was the impetus behind writing the open letter?
Well, one, there was a call out for neurodivergent stories.
How did that feel to know that the General Service Office was asking for shared experience from neurodivergent members?
Really freaking cool. Like, I got, yes, it was so cool. And then somebody responded to it. Like, that was like, yeah, that was cool. But my last sponsor has been really instrumental in giving me the confidence to stand up for things that I need, like the hugging and handshakes. I always used to just go along with that because that seemed to be what everybody did. And so I just went along with it. Well, hugs feel like fire to me. I don't like them at all. I don't find comfort in them. But he gave me permission to say no. In fact, he told me, you will say no. And when I started doing that, people figured out pretty quickly that I'm not a hugger. So I wanted to let other neurodivergents know that this fellowship is open to them, but we have to put our own boundaries in place and we have to be willing to enforce them. But if we do that just for a little bit, everyone else will figure it out. Now people don't come up to hug me. Or if they do, they ask politely first.
What do you think AA as a whole could do to improve accessibility to the message for neurodivergent members and potential members?
That whole accepting thing, right? Just being accepting that we're going to come in and be a bit different. And that's not bad. Allowing for weirdness in your meetings, that people get up and move around, and that's okay. That different communication methods are needed sometimes. There's nothing wrong with somebody playing on their phone, or a lot of meetings are far too overwhelming. They're far too loud and chaotic, and I really can't be present for them. But I can be present if I put in my headphones and draw. So I'm still in there with you all. I just can't be there at the same level that you guys are at. But I still want to be a part of.
Well, we are really grateful and fortunate that you're willing and able to speak with us today.
Thank you.
For more information about AA, please visit our website at aa.org.
Let's explore another example of how express need is communicated to the General Service Office. A suggestion was made to have the pamphlet titled The AA Group, Where It All Begins, interpreted into American Sign Language. This would mean that an ASL interpreter or interpreters would be filmed interpreting the pamphlet, and that video would be available to the public. In order to better understand this express need, a meeting was held online with Kelly, the accessibility staff coordinator at the time, and 11 deaf AA members to discuss this very topic. You'll hear the voice of a professional ASL interpreter. When the group was asked if the pamphlet should be interpreted into ASL, the answer was unanimous.
Yes, absolutely. I love the idea. In my opinion, the pamphlet needs to be interpreted into ASL. Yes.
In order to properly communicate this express need, we need to know why.
Because we in the deaf community, we rely so much on the visual because it's our primary language. You know, ASL is our first language with the facial expressions. You know, when you look at the English sentences, it's really hard for us deaf folks to really understand complete concepts. And that's all I want to share. It's 5 years out of COVID. We're still seeing struggles about learning how to run a healthy meeting. We need this now, not later. We need this yesterday. So we need to get this passed. When it comes to
We're reminded why it's important to hear directly from those AA members with the express need.
Oftentimes hearing people are making decisions for the deaf community. And that's something important to be mindful of, that if we do go ahead with making these videos, it is important to check with the deaf community, the deaf members, to make sure the signs are correct. Thank you for coordinating this meeting. And Kelly, I appreciate you recognizing your hearing privilege, and that means a lot.
We've now heard a couple examples of how needs are expressed in AA. So, let's explore how expressed needs are fulfilled. When an expressed need is brought to the General Service Conference as a proposed agenda item and is passed, working groups are established, made up of appointed committee members, ACMs, with backgrounds that may best serve the fulfillment of that expressed need. I had a chat with two ACMs as they began the process of creating new AAWS publications. I'm sitting down with Manisha G. and Brian P., who are both appointed committee members. Manisha, you're an appointed committee member to lead the working group for the pamphlet for the trans alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And Brian, you're an appointed committee member to lead the working group for the pamphlet for the Asian and Asian American alcoholic.
Yes.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Could you walk us through what these working groups are doing? What is the process for creating a new AA pamphlet? Manisha, we'll start with you. The idea of creating a resource for trans alcoholics has come up for the past 5 years or so in proposed agenda items. And in 2024, the conference passed an advisory action to create a pamphlet for the trans alcoholic. This brings us to today.
Yeah, so the main part of the pamphlet will be stories from people in the community. Specifically, in this case, it's people who identified as trans, which is a pretty umbrella term, but it's more basically gender diverse. It's an umbrella term for, like, you don't identify with the sex you're born with. So the working group members are part of that community. And the purpose of the pamphlet is to help the person who's not here, right?
Yeah. Brian?
And the deadline is March 31st, 2026. And up until then, our focus is really on outreaching and helping people write their stories through writing workshops and solicit as many stories as we can.
So we've been talking on the podcast about the service structure and the upside down triangle. So in the end, who gets the final say? Who gets to press send?
So everything that the working group does result in recommendations from the working group to the trustees literature committee. And so the literature committee makes the final decisions, but they will be relying on us to inform them and provide input from the community.
Absolutely. The point is that why the working group is in the community is because we are connected to the community and we understand the barriers and the challenges. And so our part of our job is to actually do outreach to them, people in the community who have stories of recovery that can really help with our primary purpose.
We're really trying to choose a group of people that are very diverse geographically. And for the Asian pamphlet, since it covers so many different ethnicities and cultures, we want to have a diversity of cultures there too, so that all of us will be able to reach out to the widest range of people possible.
Cool. Yeah. What are you looking for in stories?
First, you have to remember what is the purpose of the pamphlet, right? Its purpose of the pamphlet is to provide hope and identification, making them feel like they belong here as well, right? And so we're looking for stories that can achieve that goal. But we also want the stories that are really grounded in AA principles, right? Mm. Because I think the need for the pamphlet came about because the fellowship identified a lot of barriers for our community to access the message of recovery and hope. So we're looking for stories which can give members that hope that you can overcome those barriers.
We want to hear from anyone with Asian or Asian American or Asian Canadian heritage throughout our service structure in the US and Canada. Whether you're in a big city or small city, I think it's important for us to get as diverse a range of stories as we can. I think in many ways, you know, we're looking for what's typical in every good AA story. You know, I think out of each individual that might be thinking about submitting a story, what we would want is for them to be just very open and very honest. And then ultimately what we really want is the hope that comes from recovery.
Sorry. I think it's interesting what you said about looking for stories that's good with any AA story.
Right.
Why is it important to create literature that reflects different kinds of lived experiences?
I think having that identification is so important because, you know, alcoholism is what we're here for, right? That is the main identification. But if you are not feeling like there's somebody like you here, then it's really hard to stay. And so if you have a pamphlet, that's really assuring. There's also guidance for others, like not only just people in the community, but also for sponsors, because there's a lot of things there that people may not be aware of and may not know how to navigate. So it's helpful for people who are trying to help them, like sponsors or even professionals, to read those pamphlets and see, look from their stories and say what's worked, what's not worked. Yeah.
Brian, do you have anything you want to share?
You know, those of us who have been around AA a long time or are more familiar with it know very well that AA works across a lot of cultures and all types of people. Anyone who walks through the door, we can help and is welcome. But somebody coming for the first time, when they walk into a room, it's just a very small group in their community. And sometimes people don't live in diverse communities. You know, if somebody's an Asian person, they might be the only one there. And sometimes there's cultural misconceptions. Some people don't think it's a problem that Chinese people can have. You know, having the pamphlet available, you know, on a rack, you know, through the AA.org website, or when somebody searches for Asian American Alcoholics Anonymous to see a pamphlet, then they'll know immediately that, oh, we're here, we belong. There's been Asians in Alcoholics Anonymous for a very long time. And that could help overcome some barriers that people might have coming in.
That's great. That's yeah. Really helpful. What are you really looking forward to with these projects?
I'm looking forward to working with the working group, with the workshops, hearing a lot of stories. And as Brian said, like, you know, as I'm hearing some of the stories from even my working group members or other people we're going to hear, I'm realizing, oh my God, my story is not that unique, because I used to always think, oh my God, you know, I'm the classic trans person, like always kept it secret. I was lying all the time. And that's why I drank, which is true. You know, I was not living honestly, so I was drinking a lot. And I was like, that was my unique story. But then I was like, that's everybody's, that's a textbook story. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of comforting at the same time to know that, like that identity. So I'm also healing in that process myself. And I think that's very powerful.
We, of course, do everything to assure anonymity is protected in these stories. That's incredibly important when sharing anything from members. But I imagine there may be some folks who would be hesitant to share just because of the content of their stories. Maybe they're from a very small community. They feel like certain aspects of their story could compromise their anonymity. Is there anything we can do to further ensure it's protected?
No, that's a very good question. I think it's a big concern as well. I think we want to make it also very clear. We make sure that any information that could be identifiable will be removed. So we want to be able to protect people's anonymity as much as we can. Yeah.
What if an AA member wants to submit a story, but they submit it in a different language? Would you still accept the story as a submission?
Yes, we would be very interested in those stories as well. Actually, any stories from any AA members, however, they can turn them in. Our conference operates in English, French, and Spanish, so we always accept those stories. For other ones, you know, some arrangements might need to be made, but we encourage them to email us at the story submission email address, which is pamphletstories@aa.org. That's no spaces or punctuation, just pamphletstories or literature@aa.org. And we'll accept handwritten stories too.
That's good to know.
You know, a lot of times I think of these pamphlets that we have, like Black in AA, we have a pamphlet for Indigenous people in AA, women, Hispanic women, people in the armed services, just to name a few. You read through those pamphlets, from the cover, it identifies a certain type of person, but where the stories always end up is in AA, where we're all together. So in a lot of ways, I think of these stories as a new doorway that leads into the same room, you know, just like a welcome mat towards a particular community. While we are all the same as alcoholics, we do have different experiences. Having a resource where people can see that people struggled in the same way but still found a solution in AA can give hope.
Brian, Manisha, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Find a meeting near you or a meeting online, download the Meeting Guide app on your mobile device.
And finally, what's it like to be on the other side of fulfilling an expressed need in AA? After the countless hours of service on a given project has concluded, after the action is implemented. For this experience, I spoke with one more ACM. We're sitting down with Jerry R., an appointed committee member who led the working group for updating the pamphlet now known as Indigenous People in AA. Thank you for joining us, Jerry.
Thank you, Nathan. It's wonderful to be here.
What was the process like to work on updating the pamphlet?
As any experience I've had in service work in Alcoholics Anonymous, certainly a process of growth for me. Just really an incredible experience to, first of all, work with the Trustees Literature Committee and be able to reach out to the Indigenous community within the AA Fellowship and, first of all, invite people to come aboard and form that working group and go through the process of organizing in order to come up with something that served the Indigenous community more effectively. And then the other opportunity for really spiritual growth was just putting the call out for stories and watching the fellowship step forward. It took some time, as things often do in Indian country, for those stories to come forward. We had to reissue the invitation, the call for stories, a couple different times. But once they started coming in, it was really an interesting process to see the diversity, even within the Indigenous community, the stories, the experience, and just the understanding that people gain about themselves, about recovery, and even about their heritage as they recover.
You said that you had to call for submissions a few different times?
Correct.
Why is that?
When you think about it, a lot of the Indigenous community are in rural settings, and they aren't as plugged in as many people are in more urban settings. Although there are, you know, the largest part of the Indigenous population is urban today, but there are still so many out there in those smaller communities that not only do we need to hear from, but who need to hear from us as well. And so that interaction always takes time. We call it Indian time. And when you combine Indian time with AA time, things slow down.
Yeah, it takes some time.
It's a very spiritual experience.
And those that were chosen,
yes.
What kind of range of experiences or locations did it come from? Could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, every single story represents a different indigenous community. Towards the end, we recognized that whether it was someone who worked on the committee or someone who submitted a story, there were 32 different indigenous nations involved in the production of this version of the pamphlet.
Why did the pamphlet need to be updated?
What happens to much of our literature is that it gets outdated over time. And some of the stories, in particular in the Indigenous Peoples, or at that time it was AA for the Native North American pamphlet, just the title alone was an issue for a lot of the Indigenous community in Canada, mm-hmm. for instance. And that was one of the first discussions that we had as a working group was, okay, what are we going to call this? And the Canadian folks who were on our committee were very, very clear that they didn't consider themselves to be North Americans, that they were fine with Indigenous or Aboriginal. So we stuck with Indigenous people in AA, and that was the first discussion that we had. And it was an important one because this is about inclusion. And we want to start with that from the get-go.
Why is it important to create literature that reflects different kinds of experiences?
That's a great question there. So I've been in service work for some time, and I have heard a fair amount of people suggest that we don't need as many pamphlets as we have, that what people need to do when they get to AA is just identify with the fact that they're an alcoholic and work toward our common solution and recover. But what I've come to see and the way I've come to understand it is that pamphlets aren't necessarily intended for the fellowship currently in the program. Our pamphlets are a tool for outreach. And so, for instance, I was going through treatment and was really not sure if I was an alcoholic. I sobered up in 1990, and the AA for the Native North American pamphlet came out in the late 80s. So it was pretty fresh off the press when I saw it on that table at the treatment center. I picked it up. And coming off of the reservation, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. Having been raised on the reservation in that culture with that understanding that off the reservation, there's a whole new world that I don't fit into. But when I went to recover, AA was part of that outside world, and it was intimidating. It was scary. And people say, well, yeah, it's scary for all of us. Yeah, it is. But when you come from a culture where there are things like cultural trauma, intergenerational trauma, and everything that tells you that you are separate, you are different, you have been singled out, it's hard to get over that. What a lot of people don't understand is that we have the thresholds to our rooms that people have to cross over in order for us to be able to work with them. Outside of that threshold, there's this big mound of fear that they have to find some way to get over. And what these pamphlets are designed for is to help them to be that guide over that mound of fear that's in front of them. And that's what that pamphlet did for me at that treatment center. I read those stories, and though they didn't speak exactly to my situation, I had enough of an opportunity to identify with them that I had just a small window of hope, enough to say, maybe this will work for me. Maybe if this person from this reservation found recovery here and this person has a better life from this tribe, it opened the door just a little bit wider for me, and it reduced the size of that mound of fear that I had to get over. So it brought me to the doors and through the door of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a great tool for inside the rooms, but it's a fantastic tool for outside of the rooms. That's why it's so important, I think.
Excellent. This revision just came out in 2025. I'm sure you've gotten a fair amount of feedback from the fellowship by now.
Yeah.
Anything about the impact that it's made?
Yeah. It's made some people cry in good ways. Yeah, just immediately The feedback has been very, very positive. The Indigenous Fellowship has received it very warmly. And actually, I can tell you that everyone that I've heard back from who has read it and gotten past that beautiful cover have responded just so positively about it.
The cover is beautiful. I was just talking about that.
The cover actually does incorporate a lot of Indigenous traditional elements. It contains sky, earth, water, plant life, and living things. The dragonfly that is on the cover, pretty much any Indigenous culture, the dragonfly represents healing and transformation. And we felt that that was very appropriate. Then there are four flowers on the bottom representing the sacred number four. And so we jazzed it up a little bit as an Indigenous community.
Has there been any aspect of working on the project that's had a strong impact on you and your sobriety?
The impact has been, it's hard to find words for it, but I can tell you that the sense that I got on a personal level of being able to give something back to really two different communities that have meant so much to me. The first is my tribal community, which gave me life. And then the second, of course, is the AA Fellowship, which saved my life. And just to know that I've been given that chance, however the end result is received, the opportunity to give back and to be asked to step into this has been tremendous. It was just a tremendous experience to connect with Indigenous people from all over U.S. and Canada, and to share not only our love for Alcoholics Anonymous, but our heritage as well, and just our understanding of how closely intertwined those can be, that the entire working group stepped away from this project at the end with hearts just brimming with gratitude. I know each one of us walks back into our AA community and our Indigenous community with a lot more desire to continue to carry this message because of this experience.
You have an obvious connection to this piece of literature, which you've worked so hard on for so long. Besides the pamphlet, do you have a favorite piece of AA literature? Mm.
A passage on the fourth step of the 12 and 12. It's a simple little passage, but it describes to me what the voice of my disease sounds like. And it's that line that says, pride says you need not pass this way. Fear says you dare not look. And what AA tells me is, yes, you can.
Jerry, thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
The pamphlets Indigenous People in AA and Access to AA, where members share on overcoming barriers, can be found on AA.org and the AA online bookstore. ASL and LSQ interpretations of AA literature can be found at AA.org as well as the Alcoholics Anonymous World Services YouTube page. If you would like to submit a story for consideration for the pamphlets for the trans alcoholic or Asian and Asian American alcoholic, please email pamphletstories@aa.org or literature@aa.org. Deadline for submissions is March 31st, 2026.
Thank you for listening to Our Primary Purpose, a podcast produced by the General Service Office on behalf of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous in the U.S. and Canada.